The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can disabled Christians best serve God? That's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. On today's episode, like many before, we are taking questions from listeners just like you. In fact, we have questions that come in from all over the world through email. Let me give you our email just in case you've got one of those questions that's keeping you up at night. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
One of the biggest questions every Christian needs to ask themselves is, you know, what is my role in the body of Christ?
That's a good question.
Right? Yeah. Every single one of us is kind of like an organ in the body. And Paul really emphasizes this, doesn't he? That some people are the eyes, some people are the big toes, some people are the spleen or whatever, but we all need each other.
Yes.
And the eye can't do the work of the foot, and the foot can't do the work of the ear, and you know what I mean?
Right.
We can't do it all together. Everyone has their own ministry.
Right.
And that's not always evident on Sunday morning, but it's not always necessary that you have to exercise. If you have a ministry, that doesn't mean you have to exercise it on Sunday morning. There are many other days of the week and opportunities and situations for you to exercise your ministry. But here's a question from Craig, and Craig is in a difficult situation. He says, I'm disabled and mostly bedbound. I can get in a wheelchair with a lift, but I can't sit long, and I have permanent infection in my back and spine, and he needs full-time care. And his question is, I can't go to church, I can't sit up that long, and besides, I have no ramp at my place. So his question is, how am I to serve God? I know I can pray to give out notes, but I was an evangelist on the front lines, and it scared me, but I love doing it. I guess he used to do street ministry, but now that's really difficult for him to do. So how can he serve God?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I don't want to in any way minimize the difficulty of what Craig is going through.
Right.
It is extremely difficult. He's not in a situation where some disabled people are, where, let's say, they're paralyzed from the waist down, but they can sit up in a wheelchair for 8 hours a day.
Right.
And they can move around or whatever. Or even someone who's paralyzed from the chest down, but they can maybe move around using a mouth stick and et cetera. He is experiencing a high level of disability.
Right.
But on the other hand, he is having a ministry already where he is praying for people.
Mm-hmm.
His reaching out to us is a ministry.
I mean,
he's ministering to all the thousands that hear us on this podcast and radio are all going to be blessed by his question.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that, yes, prayer is a major ministry. Paul talks about laboring with me in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer is definitely work. In addition, he can also interact with people via the phone.
Yeah.
If he's able to do email,
yeah,
he can interact with people in email or chatting. I have a friend at my assembly, Vince Deegan, and Vince interacts with a lot of people via Facebook or chat rooms and things, and he'll interact with Lordship Salvation people and try to convince them that you can be sure you have everlasting life simply by faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And so he's evangelizing people who are already sympathetic to the Christian message, but they're confused on what you need to do to be born again.
Right.
Well, it's possible if Craig can, at least for some time during the day, be involved in that type of activity, he could have a ministry that way too.
Yeah, and you know, it used to be people would have enormous letter writing ministries, you know, back before the days of the internet.
Right.
Some people, that was their entire thing. They would keep up a large correspondence with lots of people and answer their questions and do this letter writing ministry. And in fact, I was just reading, I think it was in Reader's Digest from a few months ago, of this little girl who started a letter writing ministry to her mail carrier, to her postman. She just wrote him a letter to say thank you. She started writing letters to other postal workers just to say thank you for their work. And it became this big thing where they were very appreciative that someone would reach out and just say thank you. But I mean, that applies to anything. Like you're saying, I mean, Craig here, he can reach out to a lot of people with letters. Think about prisoners. How many prisoners are there?
That's absolutely right. I have some friends who are now with the Lord, Dick and Ann Caddick. Ann was involved in prison ministry, writing letters to prisoners. She and I've known other people are involved. They will, like, grade their study questions when they, like, there are certain prison ministries that have study questions.
Yeah.
But, yes, you can correspond with prisoners. Prisoners are often extremely open to the free gift of everlasting life. Now, unfortunately, prisons are inundated with work salvation preachers.
Well, that every kind of cult is in there, I suppose.
Yeah, not just the cults, but you get all of the Protestant groups that preach faith plus works.
Yeah.
So if Craig can be one who's proclaiming the faith alone message via a letter writing ministry, that would be terrific.
I was thinking, you know, it just hit me. There's someone else who had a important letter writing ministry.
Who is that?
There's a book that we all like to read. As Christians.
Oh, it's called The Bible.
It's called The Bible, right? Most of these are letters, right, to different churches and
Paul
correspondence.
Paul has 13 different letters, and you have many other epistles in the New Testament as well.
It can be effective. But here's another idea. I know that there are people who do online correspondence courses, and they need graders. I've heard of even free grace ministries where they have hundreds of students, especially in prisons, apparently, who are just doing these kind of courses and learning about the Bible, and maybe Craig can find a ministry like that to come alongside of and help support.
Right, and if Craig has some ability at writing, hey, he can try writing articles for our magazine. Maybe he could write some articles from the standpoint of someone who has lots of time to think.
Yeah.
He could pick some key free grace topics and write on those topics. You know, unfortunately, it's difficult to write something that's publishable. We get lots of articles that we can't use, even though the people may have, you know, master's degrees in theology or doctorates in theology. But if the writing doesn't hit our readers, well, we can't use it. But on the other hand, we have people who don't necessarily have a big education, but they're able to write well. If Craig is able to write, he might could try that for us.
And also, I mean, he could also do it for himself. I mean, blogs are a way of reaching lots and lots of people. Start your own blog. Write every day. Do little videos.
Yeah, how do you start your own blog anyway?
Well, you'll need to have a site probably from WordPress or some type of platform like that. I don't know what the latest platform is.
So he could have a blog for disabled people.
Just talking about from the aspect of persevering, how do you persevere through this? How do you persevere through struggling?
That's a good
suffering?
Idea.
I mean, that'll reach a lot of people because, you know, it's one thing to hear about suffering from someone who has, you know, everything is going right in their life, and you think to yourself, man, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't have anything to learn from you. But when you hear it from someone, man, who is going through this struggling and this suffering firsthand, that's really impactful.
And maybe he could submit some things to Johnny Erickson Tada's ministry.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name of her ministry is, but she has a ministry for disabled people.
Right. So letter writing, blog writing, doing videos, phone calls, working alongside a correspondence kind of school type ministry. There is lots to do. And also, I think we should say something about this. You've mentioned in the past, and I thought this was so impactful. I think you were speaking to a psychologist or a psychiatrist about this. What a victorious and overcoming Christian life looks like is different for different people.
Right. I was talking with a friend who was on the faculty at the time at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he had a doctorate in counseling, and he counseled seminary students and their wives, or the wives and their husbands, and he said that some of the people that he had were suffering greatly, and they were suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, for some of these people, getting through a day was a victory, just not hurting themselves for a day was a victory.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he had different goals for different people.
Yeah.
Some of them were capable of becoming extremely productive members of society. Others of them, maybe they would be less productive.
Yeah.
But his point is, he didn't deal with everybody the same way because they weren't all coming from the same place.
Yeah.
And so someone who is clinically depressed, we need to deal with them differently than someone who's, let's say, dealing with obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
Or someone who's dealing with paranoia. But, you know, Paul talks about that. He talks about different kinds of people. You know, we're to encourage the faint-hearted. But there are also people we're to rebuke, you know. If people are in opposition and they're causing trouble, those are people who are to be corrected. And we're to strengthen those with the that are going through difficult times. So, yes, I would agree.
So basically what you're saying is, you know, someone who has lots of opportunity, lots of resources, God kind of expects more, maybe, from that person.
To whom much is given, much is required.
Right, but if someone has been given a different situation, if you're just struggling through life and you think to yourself, man, why can't I have as impactful or as public a ministry as this other person? Well, that's a human way of looking at it. The divine way of looking at it is that God has given you what he's given you, and your success, your overcoming, might look very different for you than for someone else.
Well, that's right. And Craig, Jesus said, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. It's possible you'll be one of the great rulers in the life to come. Be faithful in what God has given you. Be faithful in the opportunities you have. And one of the things I like about Craig's question, he's looking for more opportunities, ideas. I would suggest he contacts his local church, assuming he's in a local church, and talk with the pastor about this issue. What can I do for this local church with my limited opportunity to travel? What can I do? Mm-hmm. And the pastor might be able to give him some ideas as well.
Absolutely, Bob. I think that's a good idea. And what a spirit. Someone who is in his position. I don't know if I'd be thinking to myself, how can I serve God? I think that says a lot about Craig and his heart and his attitude, that even despite all these things, he is concerned about serving the Lord. That is really inspiring and humbling to me.
You know, the English word that the book of Revelation uses for the victorious Christian is the overcomer, the Nike Christian. You know, Nike is the Greek word for victory or overcoming. Yes, I think Craig has the attitude of an overcomer, and I would say keep on seeking to please the Lord in every way you can. And if you do, one day you'll hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, thank you for listening. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.